Well, lots more to talk with Dr. Barry Taff about when we come back. Plus, we'll take your phone calls and stories right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Barry Taff. Barry, before we take calls and continue chatting with you, you've got a program coming up with one of our guests, Yvonne Smith. It's her Close Encounters Resource Organization. Are you speaking there?
Yes, for Zero International, tomorrow night. Doors open at 7. It's March 9th, 7 p.m. It's the Thousand Oaks Inn. It's 75 West Thousand Oaks Boulevard in Thousand Oaks. And I think it'll be interesting because I'll get to cover a lot of information about my book and other work I've done, and a lot that's on my website. So this will be interesting. I've known Yvonne for quite a long time, so it was nice getting a call from her to speak.
Good person.
And that's attract a good audience.
And that's Thousand Oaks, California, not too far from where we are right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of Southern California.
Sure is. Barry, of all the things you've studied and investigated, is there an area that you continue to just shake your head and go, you know what, I'm still baffled about this?
The oddest thing that ever happened to me occurred in 1992.
What happened?
A case in Lincoln Heights. Great Hispanic family. Really nice. Ramirez family. And a mother, several daughters, and a child. So they're all living there, and odd things are happening. So at one point in the dining room, very heavy marble table, probably weighed several hundred pounds. The table started bouncing up and down like it had no weight at all. That was bad enough. A lot of us are in this large dining room. It's an old two-story wooden home. And the room starts shaking, except only half the room is shaking. It's physically impossible because everything's connected. The walls, the floor, the ceiling, they're all interconnected with wood and metal, and yet half the room shaking. It cannot occur. So what was going on? Objects disappearing, reappearing, banging noises, apparitions. It finally stopped as the young child Nico grew older. The phenomena again terminated, which is very common. Most of these things are short-lived. They don't go on indefinitely. It depends on the individual and how their body inductively couples with the environment.
Does someone ever get hurt?
Doris claimed she was raped. We couldn't prove it or disprove it.
Right.
In the San Pedro case, which in my book is The House That Is Haunting, Jeff was almost killed 3 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And then, now what's interesting, we're diverging into another area. In 1973, I met this beautiful girl in the lab named Carol. We got involved. Long story short, everything was great. So most of my life, I've been a medical intuitive. I've been able to do it since I was a kid. It's like, I don't know what I do, I just do it.
And what's a medical intuitive?
Someone who can psychically sense medical problems in people.
Okay.
And an example, in the fifth grade, I was 10 years old, in recess, this little blonde girl, blue-eyed, named Christine, she's walking towards me, and I'm looking at her, and suddenly it just happened. It's sort of like color x-ray vision, and I could see that on her right side, there was a plastic bag under her dress and a tube going into her. So I'm 10. I didn't know what a colostomy was. I never heard of the word.
She's 10 years old? Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And I went up to Christine and said, what's that bag and that tube in your side? She freaked out. She got the teacher. She brought me to the principal's office. And he said, did you sneak in the girl's bathroom or did you just look under Christine's dress? I said, neither. I looked at her, and it came on. He goes, what do you mean it came on? You know, like x-ray vision. He went, yeah. So he calls my parents.
There's no way you were going to win that one, Barry.
Well, it worked out. I said, well, look, he said, what about me? He said, I said, you're making a mistake. Okay. So I said, you've got the appendix scar. It's got a weird scar. It's always inflamed. And I did call it a keloid because I didn't know the term. But I described what it was, and he turned purple. He then called my parents, and he said, what's going on with your son? They said, don't ask.
Wow.
So we jump back to 1973. Carol and I get involved. We're talking once, and I looking at her, and I said, oh, Carol, you know, you've got a tumor here in your left breast. And I pointed to where it was. What? Well, what do you mean? I said, how do you know that? I said, I can't explain it. I can see it. I said, but don't worry. It's not.
It's benign.
Yeah, it's benign. She goes, how do you know? I said, I don't see calcium around it. She goes, what? I said, it's not malignant. I do not see calcium around it. Okay. So She started a new job, and they gave her a medical workup for insurance purposes. And they found the tumor where I said it would be. They did a biopsy. It was benign. That was the end of the relationship. But one other thing happened that really put a lid on it. We went to see the opening of The Exorcist in Westwood in October 73. So it was the first act. Linda Blair is being bounced around on the bed bouncing. I turned to Carol in a dead quiet theater, and I said, I've seen a bed do that in Hollywood, in a house in Hollywood. From the front of the theater, I hear a voice boom out. That's got to be Barry Taft. This is a professor of mine from UCLA who knew what I was doing. And Carol was embarrassed and humiliated. She didn't sleep for a week. And I go, it's a movie. Get over it. It's a movie, but it's real. No, it's a movie. They exaggerate and embellish for effect. Oh, so that was pretty bizarre. And the other most bizarre thing, again, this is related to UFOs. We've had a number of cases that started as poltergeist activity, evolved into a close encounter of the third kind, or abduction. And we've had other cases that began as abductions and then turned into poltergeist cases. One of these events happened to me in 77. I met a beautiful girl in the course of my work. It's absolutely stunning.
You seem to run into them all the time.
Well, if you're doing this long enough, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, it looked like, who was that, Mary Blanchard with dark hair. She's an old actress who passed away a long time ago. So I met her because there's poltergeist activity around her. We ended up dating, we're involved, and I kept having these terrible dreams. And the dreams were that something would end the relationship on July 22nd. I didn't tell her because that she might have thought, I wanted to end it, this is the way to get out.
Right.
So I kept writing down when I, July 22nd, July 22nd. And I met her on Valentine's Day. So I said, this isn't good. It's not good. I forgot about it. Long story short, you know, we're together in her home. And we wake up in the morning and she's under the covers. She's sobbing. She's crying. This story is in chapter 10 of my book. And it's also on my website under the name of A Life-Changing Paranormal Event. So she's under the covers. She's crying. Why didn't I help her? I go, what are you talking about? Help her. With you with what? And she said, well, the room lit up and she started to be lifted out of the bed by something she couldn't see. And then she found herself in a round metal room on a pedestal-like table, also of metal, and we strained at her ankles, her wrists, her neck, and her abdomen very, very tightly. And they were poking and prodding her and cutting. And I said, who was doing this? Well, they were. Who? Well, they looked like, I don't know, little people with big heads.
Oh, my
And they
gosh.
Looked like reptiles. I go, what? So I said to her, do you, she also said they were putting probes in her ears and nose and every bodily orifice and cutting her hair. And she was still under the covers. So I said to her, do you know anything about UFO abductions? And in those days, they weren't popular like they are today. They weren't that well acknowledged. And she, UFO abductions, she had no interest in UFOs. I finally coaxed her off from under the covers about an hour later. She's crying. Okay, she's bleeding from her ears, bleeding from her nose, bleeding from her mouth, bleeding from her eye, bleeding from her rectum and her uterus, and she wasn't menstruating. Around her neck, her ankles, her wrists, and her abdomen were constriction marks, bruises, like black and blue. And she had a complete breakdown. Now, if that didn't happen, whatever it was, we would have been married within a year. What's interesting, neighbors who knew nothing about this said they saw this strange glowing mass hovering over that part of the Hollywood Hills.
That's amazing.
That night.
What a story.
And the power went off in the house for 2 hours. So can I prove it? No. Can I disprove it? No.
You might be a receptor yourself, Barry.
I'm just one of those. Now, I'm glad you brought this up because it appears that some people act as sheep to this stuff, others as goats. Some people act as amplifiers. Some act as sort of
human antennas.
Yeah, what I call biological operational amplifiers. And an example, New Year's Eve, I'm putting a new desk calendar, refilling my calendar on my desk.
I do that too.
And I had to leave the room to wash my hands, and the phone rang or something. I come back to the desk. The entire calendar had been reshuffled like by a madman. And it was totally random. And I went, I didn't do this. And I've only been out of the room for a few minutes. And so I had to it took me hours later that next day to put all the things back. And it was like start off November, then it said March, then it said November, then it said, you know, just like a the lunatic had reshuffled the pages. I don't know what these things are. No one does. But again, it always seems to come back to people with interesting nervous systems.
These are great stories, Barry.
By the way, I should tell you that there will be a series of graphic novels produced soon. Basically, it's what's going to happen is that these people are going to I'm trying to think.
And are you writing them?
Well, yeah, they're being written in association with me. It says my book, Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, a novel motion comic series based on true events, drawing from over 2,000 cases, meticulously scientifically explored over the four-decade career of Dr. Taff, is the source material from which our series will draw of its content. Dr. Taff's the main character, our hero, I wish I didn't write that, whose eyes, whatever, says to launch our series, we have chosen three of his more famous cases, Hollymont, San Pedro, and Lost Love, the case of my girlfriend being abducted. And Antarius Pictures established its most important strategic relationship for the creation, execution, and distribution of the graphic novel motion picture comic series by the introduction of Sean O'Reilly. It goes on and on. Anyway, this should be out later this year.
That's exciting, but that's also good publicity for these cases.
Right. And what's interesting is that, you know, I keep running into these situations that are unbelievable. Why? Because this is the only thing I've done in my life. I mean, the only other thing in my life I'm this enamored with are cars. I used to professionally race cars, road racing.
That probably has turned into a hobby now, I bet.
Okay. Yeah, and it's too expensive.
Yep. Let's take some calls here, Barry. West of the Rockies, Matthew in Salt Lake City, Utah. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hi. I was wanting to ask Barry if he had investigated any Terrence McKenna in the Time Wave Zero theory.
No.
Tell us a little bit about it, Matthew.
Well, around 1974, Terrence and his brother Dennis McKenna went down to South America to try and find ayahuasca, but they wound up finding psilocybin mushrooms and had a really unique UFO experience stemming from that. But it was around 1974, which is about the same time you were investigating that case, and I was wondering if there were any correlations between the two.
The one thing I will tell you is this is a fascinating correlation with what you're just saying. The woman that had the abduction while we were together, they took her and they left me. Her stepfather was the deputy station chief for the company.
That's interesting.
Whether that's relevant, God only knows.
Have you stayed in touch with her at all?
I haven't talked to her in a long time. I have no idea where she is, what she is. I heard from her about 8 or 9 years ago. She said I wouldn't recognize her because she's gained a lot of weight. Of course, she's older now. We're all older now.
We all are.
Now, see, what's intriguing is that why didn't they take me? I mean, why her? Well, she's far more attractive than I am. But also, I suspect that through abductions, they was part of the criteria they may use it in determining who to abduct, people that are easily manipulated.
Sure, maybe they needed her eggs.
Or maybe they realized they could manipulate her easier and manipulate me. And all, you know, in a funny sense, I would be the worst person on earth for them to abduct. Because I would say, I'm not leaving you until you tell me how you propel the
right.
vehicle.
You'd want to know everything.
I want the power source. I want the propulsion technology.
Yeah. And where do you live and everything.
Right. As I said earlier, I got this really strong feeling that the energies involved with the paranormal are the same energies involved with UFOs. It's a form of heat. It's endothermic energy as opposed to exothermic. And we might be able to build real starships. In fact, the evidence from the ex-head of Lockheed Martin, Ben Rich, before he passed away, the famous quote he said, we have things flying a groove length that would make George Lucas drool.
I believe that.
And he did say that UFOs are real. There are things called flux liners or alien reproduction vehicles that are not propelled by anything we currently acknowledge. And he admitted this before he died, Ben Rich. So the question is, why is this being withheld from us? Because it's total power. You're not creating the power, you're tapping into it. And if we can move through travel like Star Trek, which I think we can, That energy could be also used for weaponization purposes, meaning build very potent weapons that make nuclear technology totally obsolete.
And who knows? Maybe they're doing that now, and we just don't know about it.
Perhaps, yeah.
Let's go to a first-time caller, Tony, Orangeburg, New York. Hi, Tony. Go ahead. You're on with Dr. Barry Taff.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good.
Hello, Doctor. How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
Yeah, quick ghost story. You know, I work at this old creepy psych hospital, and one of the people here told me about they were sitting by an old church here, and I heard two people talking in the back seat. So I kind of laughed it off. Ha, ha, ha. You know, he's full of it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. A couple weeks later, I'm sitting over there, and I accidentally, you know, I have an app on my phone, sent some joke that wasn't too funny to one of the people of power here, and, you know, I end up getting punished pretty bad from it. And it's just a quick lesson to everybody that I felt I was kind of punished by it. I know that sounds kind of out there, but that's all I got to say. Just don't fool around, and I do feel it was something supernatural. Have a good night.
You got it. Why, Barry, whether somebody conjures this up unintentionally or these entities show up on their own, why is it happening?
Well, as I said, it's a confluence. A simple analogy. Okay, you want to watch a DVD you bought. You got to have several things. You got to have the DVD player. It's got to be plugged in the wall. You've got to put the DVD in the player, and you've got to operate a remote. If any of part of those that ensemble is missing, nothing shows up on your screen. And I think the same thing is happening here, that there are a number of events that must work together in a concert in order for these things to occur. The best way of explaining this in a non-technical way, we're investigating and studying the effects of an unknown cause, like the three blind men and the elephant. One blind man holds the elephant's trunk and he thinks it's a hose. The other holds the elephant's leg and thinks it's a tree. The third holds the elephant's tail and thinks it's the rope. They're all wrong because they can't see the elephant. This is where we're at right now. What's important for people to understand is that in science, your theory must conform to your data. You don't make the data conform to your theory. It's quackery. And there are patterns that are showing up, clear, definitive patterns, that this phenomena, the mental phenomena, works outside of space and time. Another great example, in one of the research groups we were doing, this is all in my book, back in the late 70s at UCLA. So we tried an experiment. We get tired of the real-time clairvoyant telepathic. It was boring. We've been there, done that. Let's do with the first remote precognitive viewing. Okay.
Let's get that story when we come back, Barry. I can't believe how fast this night is going with you. Dr. Barry Taff with us. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll have open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM as well. Hey, by the way, another one of our editions of Beyond Belief, our television program, was on tonight. Those of you who watched it, I hope you enjoyed it, and you can watch it 10 days free, so you'll be able to watch next Friday's program. Simply go to GaiamTV.com/George, GaiamTV.com/George, or go to our website, click hosts, the TV icon opens up, and you can fill out the information and take advantage of it. Plus, and here's the caveat, you can look at all the videos available, thousands of them in this library at Gaiam TV. So enjoy it. Have some fun. 10 days free. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Barry Taff with us. We'll take your calls. Barry, you were talking about remote viewing when the break hit us.
Right. We got tired of doing the real-time stuff. It's just like, you've been there, done that. So let's do our first precognitive remote viewing. This is 1978. So the last session, we were in a sensory-deprived environment to begin with. We took ourselves down to a hypometabolic state, and then we try to describe in detail the first randomly chosen target for the next Wednesday night. So who is going to be the target? Give as much detail as you can. So this is all being recorded in audio tape. And we describe a very tall blonde woman, 5'9", 5'10", beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, sculpted features. She's wearing a bay, really nice tan, like a professional business suit. And there were 24 chairs in that conference room that we used. We see her, we name the number of the chair she was sitting in. We see a three-story home in the Hollywood Hills, a baby grand piano, and other things. And then we start describing a tall man dressed in black shoes, black boots, black cape, black gloves, black hat, black mask, and an imposing sword. Are we losing our minds? What are we describing? Okay. The next week, we randomly choose the first target. I won't bore you with the detail. This is all in my book and on my website. So we go through the process. This one woman said, the number fit her. So we say to her, listen to this tape we made last week. If anything in it relates to you, basically stop it and give us feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So she's hearing her description. Exactly. Top to bottom. Perfect description. Even the clothes. Okay. She, on her own accord, sat in the chair numbered for the target. Could have been coincidence. She grew up in a three-story home in the Hollywood Hills. There was a baby grand piano in the house. Could have been coincidence. We get to the tall man all in black, the cape and the sword. Her father was Guy Williams, who played Zorro for Disney.
Oh, I loved him when he was Zorro.
So she said, well, wait a minute. When did you make this tape? We said, a week ago. She goes, a week ago? I didn't know I was coming here until a couple hours ago. How did you? I go, that's the point. She goes, but. And then some academic brother of mine said, we guessed. Excuse me, we guessed? I mean, you know, how many coincidences make a fact?
And as you know, I don't believe in coincidences, Barry.
Yeah, neither do I. Right. It's just, anyway, you know, beautiful woman. She absolutely, her name's Tony Williams. You know, we got back in touch with each other. She still looks like a living human doll. But the whole event kind of upset her, and I could see why. So a few weeks later, we tried another precognitive remote viewing session. Same methodology. All we're seeing is fire, fire, fire. Oh, we quit. The next day, I'm up in the lab. Fire engines come to the Neuropsychiatric Institute where we were situated. That conference room caught fire behind one of the curtains. There was an electrical short. Spark caught the drapes on fire. And I thought, no wonder why we saw fire. And we didn't start the fire, so it wasn't a self-fulfilling prophecy. And these two events really upset a lot of our regulars. And they said, we don't like this anymore. It's too serious. Well, how could you know the future before it occurred? That's the whole point.
That's the whole point of everything.
And you. And it brings, you know, this is my book gets into this. I have several chapters dealing with precognition. And the more you read about it, the stranger it gets. Do we, in fact, have control of our destiny? Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come? Maybe, maybe not. There was a great episode of The Twilight Zone with the guy, Professor Gilligan's Island. He goes back in time and tries to prevent the killing of Lincoln. Of course, he can't do it. At the end, you hear Serling saying that some things can be changed while others cannot. No one knows.
True. That is so true. Let's take some calls. Skype caller, Dan in the United Kingdom. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Dr. Barry.
Hi.
Dr. Barry, I wanted to, when you were talking about the TV earlier, it reminded me of an incident that I wouldn't mind some explanation on because I can't get my head around it. Mm-hmm. And that was, occasionally, I don't sleep properly. I'm a bit of an insomniac. And what happens, it kind of induces this kind of psychic awareness in me that I've kind of had since childhood, but I've kind of tried to turn off. But every now and again, I get proper sleep. So I was going to the shops the other day, and I was listening to a DAB radio. Mm-hmm. And basically, I want to talk about white noise and what was happening. I'm very attuned to sound and frequencies. And what was happening, I was on the way to the shops, and suddenly it was a DAB radio, and the frequency kept cutting in and out. And so I started to hear interference. And as I was doing that, this synchronicity occurred, and it was quite bizarre. But as I was observing things and watching things, the sounds and that kept cutting in emulated what I was observing, literally down to the split second, down to the nanosecond, instantaneously. And it was like being in this kind of bubble of synchronicity, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit. But it's not the first time it's happened. It happened another time when I was, you might say, in an altered state a few years before. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to, I was watching the TV, and the interference came in. You know, the signal wasn't strong enough. You know, when you get the pixelation and the sound kind of cuts in and out. And again, a message came through from there, and there was this communication that took place. and I was kind of told this message from one. I don't know where it came from, but it was something along the lines of, this is just the beginning. And I was just wondering, on the grand scheme of things, if you can explain how an incident, and I believe it was true, undoubtedly it was a definite affirmation from my part. It wasn't manifested by my mind or anything like that, but I'm just curious, because I can't get my head around how something like that can be induced in real time or our time.
Well, the thing is, as I said, some people act as amplifiers, waveguides, and focal planes for this. It's all these things are always out there. The question of who does what with it. What I'm getting at here is sometimes stressful situations or anxiety-producing situations will induce an altered state. That in itself usually helps to amplify these things or bring them to the front of our mind to where we're able to perceive them. It's no one knows. On my website, barrytaff.net, I've got three lengthy blogs on the whole thing of synchronicity. What does it mean? What's the relevance of it? What is it telling us? We each must interpret those very subjectively at an individual level, because they mean different things to different people based on the patterns they show. It's in my life, when I've had major synchronistic events, especially if they're layered one upon another for a thing, and what I've seen is they indicate I'm on slippery ground or thin ice. Be careful or you may get really hurt or have a really real problem. So when these things occur, I listen. I pay attention to what my gut's telling me, because something's being demonstrated to you, and you're the one that has to interpret it. So you might interpret it one way, but someone else may not. This is the problem. We are part of all these phenomena. We are directly involved with it. In other words, the old adage, if a tree falls to the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? In this mode, it does not. The only time there's sound is when we perceive it. It's basically everything's oriented around consciousness, and we manipulate that based on our wants and needs.
There you go. Thank you, Dan. Isn't that something, technology, Barry, live from the United Kingdom? There he is. Just amazing.
It's amazing. The more stories you hear about this, the more intriguing it becomes. Every time you think you've answered the question, 10 more questions show up.
Are you a believer in hell?
I think it's man-made purgatory. If we believe in it, it's real. I don't know what happened. I think our concept of birth and death are wrong. I think consciousness inhabits a body, and then when the body can no longer support it, moves on. Where it goes, where it comes from, God only knows. But I think in the end, we're going to discover this stuff is far more reaching than we've ever imagined. If we don't stop with the tip of our toes and nose, we may not really be born or die. It's just the way we perceive it. Like I said, the only energy source in the universe that we know of that doesn't seem to be entropic, it doesn't require heat, is the energy related to these phenomena. And with UFOs, the phenomena they generate in terms of what they're able to do is not within the scope of our technology. It'd be like us going back 3,000 years ago with a jet or a cell phone or a car. It would be magic.
They'd have no idea what it was.
We're looking at something beyond the scope of where we're at, and that generally creates fear in people. The question is what we're going to do with it. If we can't learn something from all this and put it to use to better ourselves, then why are we looking at it? What's the point? I think that there's a purpose for all this. To teach us who we are, where we come from, and where we're going to. And in the end, my gut's telling me we're going to find that we have an inconceivable past and an unimaginable future. This is all in my book and on my website. What if we discover that we were made by another race of beings?
And we probably were.
Yeah. What was here was not human. Something intervened to manipulate the genetic code, and they're human. Here we are. If that was disclosed with clinical proof, it would probably be the most destabilizing information ever given to the human race. It would disenfranchise us. And all our government cares about is domestic tranquility. So come April 15th, we write that damn check. If domestic tranquility ends, they don't get their money. It's that simple. That's why this type of disclosure will not occur.
Never occur. Robert's in Twin Falls, Idaho. Go ahead, Robert. You're up with us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I think Barry and I met in 1970 in Hacienda Heights, California. Came to my house with about four people, and we had a evil entity in the house. And I don't know.
He's looked at 4,500 of them. I don't know if you remember this one, Barry.
I'd have to look back in my files. I've got thousands of them.
Let me prime his mind a little bit.
All right.
We tried a telekinesis project there at the house with a card table.
Mm-hmm.
And the card table moved up, but it didn't come up off the floor like it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It tipped over on one end and pinned me to a door in the front living room of the house in Hacienda Heights.
Was this when we were there, or this is before we...
Yeah, that was when you were there.
I'd have to look in the file.
We were going to try it. It was way back early. My wife's name was Dorothy Rigotti, and I had a 9-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she had an invisible friend that would protect her from this evil entity we had. Because the evil entity wanted to get my wife to kill me.
Oh, my God. What happened? Obviously, you're not dead.
Well, I'm not dead. My wife passed away, but that was 7 years ago. We had a great life. And she just woke up one night with a butcher knife in her hand, and that's when we decided to call the parapsychology department at UCLA. And Barry and four people came out. One girl was dressed and always wore real bright, long dresses. And I remember the name. And I can never remember the last name till you guys came on tonight. And I appreciate the fire out of it. And if people don't believe it, they better.
It's real.
As far as I'm, what you talking about hell earlier, people make their own hell right here on Earth.
They sure do. Barry, I'd go nuts if I woke up and a wife was there standing with a butcher knife.
I'd go nuts if I woke up and had a wife.
I love it. Let's take a couple more calls here. Oh, by the way, I'm getting lots of emails about your event tomorrow night in Thousand Oaks, California. Would you give that address and time out one more time?
Sure. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, it's at 70, Thousand Oaks Inn, 75 West Thousand Oaks Boulevard, Thousand Oaks, California. And if you want the information, people can call 805-938-1679, talk to Alice Levy.
If I wasn't in Denver tomorrow night taping some TV shows over the weekend, I'd be out there. I would like to see you in action there. Let's go to Jason in Redding, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jace, go ahead.
Hey, guys, first-time listener and first-time caller.
Well, thank you on both.
Well, I was driving down the road, and I'm listening, and you mentioned San Pedro, and in 1985, when I was 5 years old, I lived on 11th Street with my grandmother and my grandfather who raised me. I used to complain about taking naps in the pack room there on 11th Street because I always felt like there was something that was grabbing me and would pull me down under the bed. And that happened a few times, and my grandmother had the priest from Mary Star, which is a few blocks north of 11th Street there in Gaffey, bless the house, and we ended up moving. And I haven't thought about that in 32 years until I just listened to your show tonight, and you mentioned San Pedro and 11th Street. Now, I don't remember the address. I think I was 6 years old when we moved out of there, but I can't tell you. I was driving down, and I had to pull over because I felt a little
short
of breath.
Huh?
And and like I said, I couldn't believe I heard that tonight. tonight.
Let's hope we don't conjure something up for you, Jason.
Yeah, I certainly
that's all we need.
Hope not.
Well, all right. Well, good. I'm glad you're first-time listener and first-time caller as well. Barry, what's your suggestion for people? This happens to them. How do they stop it?
Well, George, if we don't know what it is and how it works, how can you stop it?
That's a good point.
Generally, these types of events are short-lived, weeks to months, although we've had cases that have gone on for years. And it depends on the dynamics of the people and the environment. And also, again, the nervous system, how wired their nervous system is. My book goes into so many cases. I could have added another 300 cases to the book, but it would have been 1,000 pages long. Again, the faces and places may change, but the types of events and the dynamics of the in people there don't. We were out in a case about 8 years ago, Barry Conrad and I, in West Covina. Woman moved into a fixer-upper with her husband and her kid, and then suddenly the husband went nuts and was trying to kill her. The police took him in, psych evaluation, sent him home. He was fine. And then he starts freaking out again. He tries to kill the daughter. He then kills himself.
Oh,
and they found out that the owner, original builder of the house, killed himself in the same way in the same room many years earlier.
It sounds almost like the Amityville Horror. Barry, we're out of time. Good luck on your event tomorrow night. Thank you so much. Barry's book, by the way, Aliens Above, Ghosts Below. Great guest. And that sets the stage for the rest of the night with Open Lines. I'm going to open up a special hotline, by the way. Your scariest moment doesn't necessarily have to be a ghost story. Could have been anything that happened in your life that scared the living daylights out of you. That number is 818-817-0021.